Since the last time I sat behind the microphone and recorded a podcast, a lot has happened. Santa Claus has come. We've rung in the new year, and most life-changing for us is we've added a new baby to our household. Benjamin was born December the 15th, and things have been in chaos since then. He's not a terrible baby, but he is a baby, and so we have had a new experience. Or at least new. It's been a long time since we've had a new one in the house, and so it's been a relearning experience. It's been great. He's doing well. Mama's doing great. And for those of you who have extended congratulations or prayers on their behalf, I just can't thank you enough for that. It's been a great, great holiday for us, something totally different, and something that no doubt will bring a lot of new smiles and challenges into our lives. One of the things that the little guy brought into our life was he brought me a little podcast, sermon, article, something. And I've decided to turn it into a podcast first, and it probably will make an appearance later in sermon form or something along the ways. But this will be sort of a teaser, and it may be a year or two, or who knows how long. These things fall into the archives, and I run back across them. But we had to make a trip to Baton Rouge this past week. To visit a family member, and it was something that we weren't planning on doing with the two-week-old baby, but we did, and so I did the thing I never thought I'd do. I was in a hotel room with the two-week-old child, and at midnight or thereabouts, I was holding him, trying to let Mama get some sleep. We tagging out and taking turns, and so she was asleep, and I was sitting there beside her in the bed, holding him in my arms, and I just fed him, and I was rocking him to sleep, and he had dozed off, and there was a moment of quiet there in the hotel room. And I realized very quickly that if I moved, I would wake him up because he was just barely asleep. And I didn't want to move, but also had a conundrum. And the conundrum was this: my arms were getting extremely tired. The way I was sitting, they weren't supported in any way. I was having to hold him just sort of free-handed. And so because of this, number one, my arms got tired. But I guess number two, because I'm a preacher in ministry, I also began to thinking about passages and text and thinking about arms that don't get tired. And so there's a few things I thought about. First of all, I thought about that beautiful passage in Deuteronomy 33 and 27 from Moses' last blessing there of Israel. At the end of Deuteronomy, as he's getting ready to hand over the leadership of Israel to Joshua, and he's sort of saying goodbye, he gives this just beautiful blessing. It's in its entirety. It would be a great study. But he says at one point, he says, "The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And I thought about that passage there around midnight, and I thought about how my arms were not everlasting. As much as I love my son, as much as I wanted to make sure he remained asleep, for our sanity and for our neighbors there in the hotel's sanity, and for, you know, just for his own comfort, I couldn't sit there forever. In fact, eventually I had to kind of shift, and I was trying to be so gentle, and I grabbed a pillow and put up under my arms, and so they were being supported. But I thought, you know, God's arms, they're everlasting. And so there are four things there in the middle of the night as Benjamin and I wrote this sermon, or this podcast as it has come to be, that I want to just point out about God's arms as we start this new year. The first one is that God's arms are never too weak to lift us up. They're never too weak to lift us up. You know, I don't consider myself a weak person. I've worked in construction for many years, work on the farm, do a lot of things that require manual labor. And while I'm not a bodybuilder or what I would think of as a man's man, I also don't think I'm a weakling. And that being said, there's some things I can't pick up, and there's some things I just can't do. But God's arms are never too weak to lift us up. I love what God says in Isaiah 50 and verse 2 when he says, "Why when I came was there no man? Why when I called was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea, and I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst." God says, "My hands are strong enough to redeem you." Oh, I love that. I love what Jeremiah says about God's arms in Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 when he says, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you." You know, when we think about things that we might want to accomplish or things that we might want to achieve, things that may need to be done, maybe it's in our own lives where we need to be rescued from some situation. It may be too hard for God, but throughout the scriptures, we are reminded that there's nothing that's too difficult for God to do with his arms. And, of course, when we're using this phrase, God's arms, we're obviously using a figure of speech known as anthropomorphism, where we apply the characteristics of humans, anthropos in the Greek, to God, and we are trying to describe his power. Now, God uses this, you know, this metaphor throughout Scripture, the metaphors of his arms and his eyes, etc. But he says, mine are not too weak to lift you up. Now, the second thing God in his arms that I thought about was that God's arms never get too tired to hold us for comfort. Oh, I love that passage. We've already looked at it there in Deuteronomy 33, where God says, the eternal God is your dwelling place. Moses says the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And it's this idea that you can stay there and stay safe. You know, when Benjamin was in my arms that night, and I held him there in that situation and in that circumstance, he was at peace, he had comfort, he was asleep, he was safe, but my arms got tired. And God's arms never tire. They're always there to hold us for comfort. Our God is always willing to be there for us. We sing that old gospel hymn, what a fellowship, what a joy is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, as Peter talks about our inheritance and all the things that God has reserved in heaven for us, he says in verse 5 of that great text, he says, who, speaking of us Christians, the saved people, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It is the power of God that's guarding us. Now that gives me great comfort. That gives me a place of refuge. You know, in our Father's arms we should feel safe, and God's power can keep us safe. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. God wants to take care of us. He wants to comfort us, and his arms are never too weary. God doesn't get tired. I know sometimes people say, you know, I just keep praying to God for the same old things, and I keep complaining to God, and I keep bringing my same troubles and my same worries to God, and I'm afraid. I've heard people say, I'm afraid God's going to get tired of me. Well, his arms will never be too tired to comfort his children. The third thing we want to point out is that God's arms, the arms of God, they're never too busy to cheer our successes, to clap for us. You know, I think this is one that for whatever reason we don't feel comfortable with, this idea that God would ever cheer us on. And I understand that our faith can also in turn become us-centric. It can become human-centric. And we want to be careful that our religion is not all about us and God's celebrating us. But understand this. You know, I have three sons now, and whether it is in their jobs or in their sports or in their faith or in their life, I'm always cheering for them. I love when they succeed. It brings me great joy to see my children prosper. Why in the world would we think it's any different when it comes to our Heavenly Father looking at his children? In fact, look at a few verses with me. The first one is from Jude, and it's the 24th verse. There at the end of Jude, he makes this statement. He says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Did you hear that? God with great joy brings us into his presence. And it's a joy for God. God celebrates it when we are successful. Zephaniah 3:17 may be the most well-known verse that echoes this idea where God says, the Lord God is in your midst. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Zephaniah 3:17. You know, that echoes in my mind the picture of the shepherd who's found his lost sheep in Luke 15, or the woman who's found her lost coin, and they come rejoicing in the salvation of the sheep or the finding of the coin. That's a picture of God celebrating and cheering us when we come to a good point in our lives. The psalmist says in Psalm 149, 1 through 4, he says in verse 1, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly." Later on he says, "Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre." Why? "For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation." Notice that. The Lord takes pleasure. It makes God happy when His people do well. And so understand, when you think about God, where many people may paint Him or see Him as some stern, you know, heavenly being watching out for us, ready to zap us when we sin, the Bible says that God rejoices when we are successful. God celebrates our successes. And God's hands are never too busy, they're never too distracted, they're never too disinterested to cheer for us in our successes. Now, the final thing we want to say about our Father's arms is they're never too hard to embrace us when we've left. Now, back to the chapter in Luke 15, right? The story, the parable there of the prodigal son who goes off, squanders his inheritance, lives prodigal or wasteful living, no doubt doing things and being involved in things that were sinful and wicked and rebellious. And we read in verse 20 of that chapter, Luke 15, that when he came to his father, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. When God speaks to his people in Hosea 11, verses 7 and 8, he says, "My people are bent on turning away from me, and though they call out to the Most High, He shall not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me, and my compassion grows warm and tender." God says, even though you deserve my anger, my heart grows warm and tender. He loves us so much that it really doesn't matter what we've done or where we've gone. Our Father's arms are never too hard that they won't embrace us when we turn back to Him. In Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, Micah ponders God and His infinite mercy, saying, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." You see, God's arms never are too hard to accept us when we need to come home. I need to thank little Benjamin for the inspiration for this lesson. And when we think about our Father's arms, they're comforting, they're helping, they're healing, and they're forgiving. And aren't we glad we have a Father with everlasting arms that are there to support us and strengthen us as we seek to walk with Him daily? I pray that you have a prosperous and blessed 2023, and I hope that you will learn to find the love and grace that comes from our Father. May God bless you. I want to add an end note on this podcast. Normally I don't do this, but a couple of things prompted me to do this today. Number one, you may have noticed that the microphone clarity is not very good. I don't know what's going on with my microphone. We're going to work on that before the next episode, but I decided instead of re-recording, I just go ahead and let it go. So we'll try to do a better job of getting that out. You may have heard a couple of booms of thunder. We've also got a thunderstorm going through as I record this today. So hopefully that wasn't too distracting. I'm glad that it wasn't electrifying for me. But at any rate, I have some more interviews scheduled. This is the Preacher to Preacher podcast. The impetus was to interview other preachers. I found that that's a little more difficult to get their time than I at first anticipated. We've had a lot of great preachers on here. I'm scheduling and constantly trying to ask other guys to get on, and we've got more coming up here in the next few months. Let me just say this at the end. If you have a topic or a subject you'd like to address on the podcast, as always, drop me a note via Facebook, or if you have my contact information, email, text, whatever, send it on, and we'll try and work something in the schedule for you. We would love to do that, and we think it'd be beneficial for us as well. Makes the podcast better. So hopefully we'll see you again in another week or two with either another short like this or an interview. So until next time.